That's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery on the 72 Bypass. I have a real treat on the line with you this morning. I have Nancy Mace. She is running against Senator Lindsey Graham, and she is a wife, a mother, small business owner. She's the first woman to graduate from the Citadel, and she holds a master's in mass communication from the University of Georgia. She's the author of In the Company of Men, a woman at the Citadel. And I just wonder, Nancy, how you doing today? But first off, I want to ask you, how does it feel to always be introduced as the first woman to graduate from the Citadel?
It's fine. It's great. I actually credit the Citadel with saving my life sometimes. I wouldn't be where I am today had I not been able to have the opportunity to follow in my father's footsteps there. And I am grateful for it. And the alumni network, for me, has been very supportive of my efforts over the years. I've not done anything without their support. And I'm really humbled and honored to have had the opportunity to graduate from there.
Well, just out of curiosity, what direction do you think you would have gone if you hadn't gone to the Citadel?
I'm not sure I would have gone anywhere, actually. I have a brother and a sister that were valedictorians of their high schools growing up, and they both went to West Point. I, on the other hand, had a very different... My choices were very different in life. I didn't get that gene, and I sort of feel like I went to the school of hard knocks. I did it to myself. And if I had applied to West Point, they probably would have laughed at the application. But for me, the Citadel was the perfect environment. It was challenging. There was a lot of self-discipline there, and it was a small school. And I don't know that I would have survived at a very large school. But it was a great opportunity for me, and I'm so appreciative to have had it.
Wow. Okay. Well, you know, plus being the first woman there, I guess you were under the microscope all the time, weren't you?
Absolutely, under tremendous amount of pressure, and I had forgotten what that was like. I mean, when you're in that environment and you're in the papers every day, you're also sheltered from it. You didn't have a chance to read it, and the news cycle has changed so much now. It's immediately what you say is on Twitter and Facebook and those kinds of things. So the 24-hour news cycle is out the door. Absolutely. And when I was there, I learned a couple of things that I think are very important for me in this race against Senator Graham. When I was there as a woman, I learned you could do two things. You could bend your value system and your principles and your beliefs to sort of conform to a good old boy system that you would never be accepted into. Or you could not bend who you were, stay true to form, stay strong in your beliefs and your convictions, and still be successful, although I didn't make many friends doing that. But that was one of the great lessons I learned while I was there. And I think that's what the people of South Carolina are looking for in this race. They want someone who's going to stand strong, who isn't going to waver, and is always going to tell the truth and be honest with you and be genuine.
Well, I was reading over your bio, Nancy, and one of the things I was like, you keep saying, small businesswoman. I was like, well, what business is she in? And then I came across that you actually have a business that does web presence, and you've worked with Senator Tim Scott.
Yes, ma'am. We've done PR and marketing and web work over the years, and Tim Scott, we worked with him for a number of years until he became a U.S. senator, and we worked with Representative Mick Mulvaney and folks like State Senator Tim Scott out of Beaufort, and I always said I would never get into politics. But I took those clients on, and I've learned a lot from them over the years because they are very authentic leaders, and they're very conservative, and they stay true to form, and they do not waver. And I've learned a lot from all of them over the years.
I know. We just gave, I told you, was telling you off air, we just gave Senator Tim Scott the Have a Heart Award. I think to travel 46 counties and do it in the time span that he did it, staying true to his conservative principles, and being number 35 on the Hill's best-looking list were important qualifications.
For that award, I know. He was at Jeff Duncan's Faith and Freedom Barbecue. We were there on Monday night, and he gave a very inspirational speech, and I'm very proud of him for his success so far in life. He's pretty awesome.
He is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So turning that to... what made you say, I'm going to go, first, you haven't run for political office before, have you?
I have not, and I'm not a politician. I think those are both pluses. In this case, I mean, 10 years ago, I would have said, Nancy, running for the U.S. Senate as a 35-year-old mother of two and small business owner, no way, you're not going to do that. However, if you look at the frustration that people have in this country today and in South Carolina with everything that we're seeing right now, whether it's the IRS or the Department of Justice or Benghazi or the NSA or Obamacare, we have so many issues where people are just livid. They're frustrated beyond belief right now, and I think now is one of the unique times in our country's history where a citizen like myself can have the opportunity to run for the U.S. Senate and win and represent the citizens of South Carolina, because that's what the people want. So often, D.C. thinks that we are here to serve them, and we're not. And when I talk to people over the last couple of months about this and jumping into this race, I heard echoed throughout South Carolina that these elitists in D.C. think that they know better than we do and that they are just completely out of touch with the rest of America. And that's what we need right now. We need people who will go up there, who will stand strong. We need a fighter who will represent the people of South Carolina. And we don't have that right now. And I see that South Carolina has a rich history of sending conservative leaders to Washington. We've had Senator Jim DeMint. We now have Tim Scott, and I want to continue that tradition. And I look at this seat, in the last 59 years, this seat has been held by two people. Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing. Do you think that Senator Lindsey Graham, from your perspective, was ever conservative enough?
I don't know. I hear from a lot of people that believe that that he was conservative and held their values early on, but something happened when he went to the U.S. Senate, and people don't understand why that is. And for me, this campaign is bigger than one person, too. It's not just about his position. I mean, during the NSA scandal, he said he didn't understand how any Republican got elected being to the left of Obama. And then I look at these conservatives in D.C. who are standing up for the Constitution, who are standing up for border security, standing against amnesty, standing up to defund Obamacare no matter what the cost, standing against liberal Supreme Court justices, standing against debt ceiling increases, and almost always you can find him on the other side. But to me, he's emblematic of a greater problem in Washington. We have an administration, we have a president, we have career politicians who do not listen to the people, and the people do not trust them. We don't trust them with our health care, with our tax dollars, with our personal phone and email records. I just think that he's sort of emblematic of the overarching systematic failure of Washington.
Well, you know, from my perspective, I think we need to just go in and reduce the size of it, regardless of whether it's left or right. The size of the government is what is just causing this huge problem. I just think, you know, if we have 200 employees, can we do it with 100 employees? Then you need to chop it back.
Right. I mean, how many billions of dollars would you save if the federal government, when people retired at the end of the year, didn't hire new employees to replace them?
Sure.
I think it's something in the neighborhood of $6 billion. I mean, that is certainly one approach you could take. I think that we do have to reduce the size of government. We are Republicans. We are conservative. And that is where our founding principles are based upon. And the one thing that we all have as Republicans, I don't care if you're a Tea Party person or a Liberty person or a veteran or someone who covets the right to life or the Second Amendment or just a straight ticket Republican who's patriotic, the one thing that we all have in common is our Constitution, and it was written beautifully with limited government in mind.
You know, that it's amazing that you bring that up, Nancy, because, you know, there's so much discussion about the Constitution not being valid in today's world.
Right.
So
I would vehemently argue against it. It set parameters up. I mean, I look at the NSA scandal, for instance, and you cannot protect us 100% of the time. We have plenty of examples to illustrate this. So if you were to take all of our liberty away, we still would not be protected 100% of the time. So who is going to protect us from ourselves? And that's the purpose of the Fourth Amendment. It is illegal to search and seize the phone records and emails of law-abiding American citizens. And we find out that the federal government has broken that law thousands of times and then lied about it. And again, this issue goes back to trust. And so we have the Constitution, we have a Bill of Rights that protect us, because the folks in D.C., they're not doing it. They're not living by that document.
Well, you're absolutely right. And, you know, the other thing is that, but the problem that I see, too, is that we started with this depression, whatever you want to call it, the downswing of the economy.
Right.
And I think everybody said, okay, we can get through this, okay? We've been through downturns before, a couple of years here, a couple of years there. But now that we are so far into this, I see so many people just losing hope. And I think when we lose hope as a country, this is where we're going to start seeing terrible things happen.
No, absolutely. And the neat thing about being at Jeff Duncan's Barbecue on Monday night is how inspiring Tim Scott, Jeff Duncan, and Rand Paul were that evening. They restore so much hope, and that's what we need more of in D.C. We need more people like them who will stand up and fight for liberty and fight for the Constitution, fight for limited government. I look and I see what's happening with Obamacare, and we are saddling our young people with this when they don't even have the jobs to pay for it.
Sure.
And what Ronald Reagan said many times, as president, is that if you give the American people the facts, if you tell them the truth and give them the facts and tell them the problem, they will find a way to solve it. And to me, that means you limit the size and scope of government. You go back to giving these problems to the American people, letting them solve it in private enterprise, in the free market. And I think Obamacare exemplifies that. If we were able to have competition and across state lines, then can you imagine the reduced cost that would be for everyone to have insurance? It wouldn't cost as much, and care would be better. So to me, also, we're lacking common sense in D.C. That's the biggest voting block in this country is common sense. And what I see happening, the way we burden small businesses and the individual taxpayer doesn't make any sense. I mean, we're giving a free pass, a hall pass, to big companies next year for Obamacare, and the president is saddling you and I and small businesses with this burden. That's why we have to defund this measure immediately.
Well, I find it interesting. We had a conversation with Mick Mulvaney, I think it was Congressman Mick Mulvaney, last week, and he said the part that you could actually defund with the way things are right now, because it is a law, you could defund the implementation, the cost that it costs to set it up, but you cannot actually defund Obamacare.
Right. I mean, that's all to be considered. I think that we should look at what Jim DeMintis said, that continuing resolution where you fund the government and don't fund Obamacare. I think, to me, that is the solution. And Mick Mulvaney is extremely smart and very incorrect on this issue as well.
Yeah, sure, you're right. So how do you feel you are on international issues, Miss Nancy Mace?
Well, we have a lot going on in the Middle East right now. when I think about national defense, when I think about foreign policy, I want people to know that in my family, we come from a family that has a long history serving our country in the military. I'm the daughter of a retired general. I have a brother and sister that are graduates of West Point. My brother is active duty, actually at Fort Jackson. He's an Army surgeon. And I have a niece who's a nurse in the Army. I have another nephew that just finished basic, and he's going on to Fort Bragg. And I have two brother-in-laws that are in our armed forces. And so when I talk about these issues, the military and foreign policy, they're personal for me. And I see what's happening right now, and our foreign policy is so astray. We are not steadfast allies of our friends, and our enemies don't respect our words. And that's an enormous problem for this country.
What do you think about going in with missiles to Syria, since it looks like that is probably going to happen at this moment? That's the way it looks anyways.
Well, I have a lot of questions. Whose side are we on? Are we choosing the side of Assad, or are we choosing the side of Al-Qaeda? And which side is better? And these are important questions that I think we need to ask ourselves. And I look at, and I've seen what has happened in the sides that we've taken. Egypt would be an example. And a lot of times in these cases, we're not following the law. Is the president going to do this without congressional approval? Is this going to be another example where they've circumvented the law of the United States to intervene somewhere. And these are all questions that I want to see answered over the next couple of days. But it's a very fragile situation. And our foreign policy is adrift. I mean, we had to close 19 embassies a couple of weeks ago. If our national defense was stronger, that would not have had to have happened. And I want to see us get back to that. I look at our 40th president and how strong and steadfast he was. When he talked, our enemies respected his words, and they knew he would follow through with it. And we don't have that strength right now. And Egypt would be an example where we had a military coup, and our laws say that you are not allowed to give foreign aid to a country that has had a military coup. And we sent F-16s and tanks to the Muslim Brotherhood previous to that, and the Senate disregarded the law and sent funding over there. And then when it became apparent that that was politically unpopular, we had folks like Senator Graham pull back on that effort and reverse their stance. So this is what's overall, I think, wrong with our foreign policy.
Sure. You know, I think it's very interesting that Mubarak was out, you know, was out of power, yet he was at least friendly towards the United States, right?
Right. And I look and see what happened with the Muslim Brotherhood. They burned down 57 Coptic churches in Egypt. And we were helping these people previous to that. And so we need to have a stronger foreign policy, and we need to have a stronger national defense, and we need to really look at how our Constitution and how our laws allow us to behave around the world. I think that these are important questions that need to be answered, and I think we need to have an overall discussion about what our national interests are, and the people of this country need to be part of that conversation.
Absolutely. Well, Nancy Mace, it has been an absolute delight to have you on the air this morning. I know that you have an uphill battle for this, but we certainly wish you all the best and hope you'll come back and talk to us again on the radio.
I look forward to it. Thanks so much for having me on this morning.
All right. Thank you so much, Nancy Mace, candidate for Senate for going up against Lindsey Graham. So we'll see how it all works out. Bye-bye, Nancy.
Thank you. Have a great morning.
All right. You too.